Good Wednesday evening to our Central Baptist Church friends, family, and viewers. This is Wednesday, August the 5th, and tonight we're going to be looking into God's Word in passages that are going to be coming out of the book of Romans, chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. So if you have your Bible, you can go ahead and turn to those passages. If not, hit pause for just a moment. Go get your Bible. Definitely want you to be with us in these scriptures as we come around the Lord's Word this evening, and we look forward to getting some great encouragement that we read in Romans chapter 5 concerning peace with God. You know, one of the things that that I have heard throughout all my ministry and in talking with people, and it's actually something that that so many people are after. They're looking for peace. I mean, even if you look in our society today in regard to all the things that are taking place and all the things that are going on, people are looking for peace. I can assure you today, and Romans chapter 5 gives us great confidence in that peace that comes from our Lord and Savior. So we want to look at that tonight. I pray, I hope, and trust that this is going to change your life forever, that you'll be able to have something that you can go to when the times in your life are tough, and some things that, can always be great reminders to each and every one of us every day from God's Word. So let's have a word of prayer as we begin tonight. And then we'll dive right in. Let's pray. Father, you're good to us. We thank you for this opportunity to be able to come around your word. We pray that you will teach us this evening, Lord, that you will encourage our hearts and that you will give us even more confidence in you as we continue down life's path and life's journey. Lord, today I ask that you would make these scriptures come to life in our heart. Use me, use your servant, that you and you alone truly would be upheld and exalted today, as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. There's really a couple of things that I want us to see out of these passages today. And if I were to ask you the question, is there anybody or any specific thing that you would give your life for? I've asked that question. I've actually had people who say, no, there's nothing that I would be willing to give my life for. There's no person, there's no essential type of a concern that I would be willing to give my life for. But then the majority of the time what I hear is I hear people say, yes, I certainly would. And generally, it comes down to a relationship between like a parent and a child. You know, people have said, yes, I would be willing to lay down my life that my child may continue on living, or I would be willing to give up my life that they might have a healthy and a full life. And when you think about that particular relationship, you think about what it is that would cause a person to do that. And the person that would say, and I've asked that question before just out of curiosity, and what they've said is this: because I love them. That is a great, great, deep-seated, almost unexplainable love that a person has for another, in this case, a parent or a child. Today, I want us to look at that from the spiritual aspect when we talk about our Heavenly Father. And I also want us to think about the fact that God, in that most famous verse that most people know of John 3:16, that God gave His only Son that you and I might have eternal life. Now, all this kind of culminates in the fact that we're searching for peace with God, peace in regard to our personal walk and our relationship with Him, as well as peace in our day-to-day life. I mean, that is what so many people are after. Look with me at the Word this evening in the book of Romans chapter 5. We're going to begin reading at verse 1. Romans chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Verse 3, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. And man, what great verses these are when we begin to think about it, because it begins to tell us about how God loves us and in the manner in which he loves us. And because of that love and because of salvation, we can have peace. Go back and look at verse 1. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith. And so many times people get hung up on that word justified. And I still remember in Bible college, one of the easy ways to kind of relate that to our walk and to our relationship with the Lord is that if you took the word justified and defined it as just as if I'd never sinned. God justifies us through Jesus Christ to himself. Now look at that verse again. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace. There's that word we've been looking for. There's that word that people are striving for today. Therefore, you see, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, for a moment, we need to think about that particular passage, because if you're out there and you're looking for something and you are looking for that peace, without having Jesus Christ in your heart and your life, you will never find what true peace is really all about, because he is true peace. It says now in verse 1 again, it says being justified, just as if I'd never sinned, by faith. Faith is defined as the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The easy terminology is believing in something even though that you can't see it. It is our faith in God. It is our faith in what Jesus Christ accomplished on Calvary's cross. Even though that we couldn't see it, it says being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I've had people tell me many times throughout life, they said, well, you know, I believe in God, but I don't believe in Jesus. Well, folks, you will never see God without Jesus. Notice what that verse says right there in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. It says, we have peace with God. If you want peace with God, here's how you're going to be able to get it. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, think about that for a moment. If you remove Jesus Christ from the equation of salvation, then you will never have the opportunity to have peace with God. Because God loved us so much. And this goes back to what we were talking about before. He loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son. He allowed his only son, Jesus, to be crucified on Calvary's cross, to die for our sins, that we might have eternal life. Now, thanks be to God that through the resurrection, he conquered death and he conquered hell. But he gives us the right to be justified to the Father by believing on him. And he says that's where true peace comes from. Look at it once again in verse 1. We'll take that whole verse. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then he goes on and he says this, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now, one of the key things is knowing that we have salvation and being able to have that assurance within our heart. I think that as a pastor, that's one of the things that I have dealt with so much more over time with people and through the years of ministry is folks who had those doubts about their salvation. And what it is they got that little weak or shaky kind of faith, and they sit back and they say, well, you know, I don't really know. And oftentimes people have told me, they said, the reason why is because it seems like it's just too easy. Why would God do something like that for me? And just to be able to confess him, to believe in my heart and to confess him. And that's really all that it takes for salvation? Well, yes, it does. You see, being able to trust Christ is a very simple matter. He said that unless you become like these little children, you'll not see the kingdom of God. He was talking about their innocence. He was talking about their belief in what like a parent tells them. I mean, you think about how and people will use the term naive, a child can be. The Lord wants us to be that way when it comes to Him and believing in Him and trusting Him with everything that we are. And it says that we're justified by faith. We have peace, that calm, that still with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, we don't have to doubt our salvation. He gave us a guarantee. He gave us a promise. And He says that it happens by faith. You know the scriptures that you've heard probably many times. We're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't work for it. You can't earn it. It is an act of grace. Now, grace has been defined throughout the years as unmerited favor, meaning that we get something that we don't deserve. So often in life, people have trouble with that. They're saying, why would somebody give me something so great as salvation when I didn't do anything for it? And later on in these passages, we'll get to it in just a moment, He goes on and expresses His great love for each and every one of us. But part two of that, you know, I said part one was having that assurance in salvation and living in that way. But so many people who I know who have trusted Christ, who are believers in this day and age, they struggle with the day-to-day living for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They look at circumstances and they look at situations and they sit back and say, well, you know, where's God in the middle of all this? Why is it that my life seems to be in the way that it is? Why is it that I seem to be having the problems and the circumstances in which I do? I believe in the Lord. I love Him. You know, things shouldn't be this way. Now, verse 2 goes on. It kind of connects with verse 1, and it says, let's take verse 1 and 2 together once again. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. He says, not only that, in verse 2, he goes on to tell us that through whom we also have access by faith. See, faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and belief in Him is not simply about, you know, going to the church and checking off a box. Well, I did this. I talked to the pastor. It's not just, well, I did this and it's over and it's done. Obviously, when you give your life to Christ, that your name is written in that Lamb's Book of Life, you are forever saved. But that's just the beginning of the journey. Yeah, he says we're not going to walk alone. He gives us the Holy Spirit, which these verses that we just read continue to reiterate. But he says that we have access. We have access to Him by faith. Look at it again, verse 2. Through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, into the unmerited favor in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now, I want us to look at hope as termed in this particular verse. That's not hope as in, well, I hope it doesn't rain today. That's not that there's doubt along the way. That means that there is assurance that we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. It's not just one of those things that you're sitting back saying it may or may not happen. This is the hope that means it is going to happen. So we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And then he goes on in verse 3. He says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulation. This is where it starts getting tough in this day and age. This is where it gets tough for folks. This is where people start to get on that shaky or unpeaceful ground when it comes down to their trust in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because look at verse 3. It says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. That means there's going to be tribulations. There are times in a philosophy today that people are out there with that say, well, if you trust in Christ, your life is going to be fine. There's never going to be any more problems. The Bible clearly doesn't state that. Right here, it doesn't state that. It says, not only that, but verse 3, we also glory in tribulations. Tribulations is right there. It says we're going to have those, but we're to glory in those tribulations. Why? Middle of verse 3, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Stay with it. How many times, maybe even in your life, have you sat back and said, well, you know what? Yeah, I've trusted in the Lord. My life doesn't seem to be going right. I've cried out to him, and yet he doesn't seem to be answering my prayer. And you've been ready to throw up your hands and walk away. Folks, what this says is that those trials, the tribulations that we have produce perseverance, that stick to it. I like that word that doesn't really even exist, the stick-to-itiveness, to be able to stay there, to continue to trust him, because you're trusting him by faith. But he gives this list, and let me go over the whole list, the latter part of verse 3. It says, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. I like how character is defined as well. Character is defined as who you are, even when nobody else is watching. Yeah, and it says this, that perseverance produces in a person character, and the character of who you are will shine forth the hope of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, verse 5 says, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now, that is a very, very important verse for us to understand. Now, we're kind of dealing with a whole grocery list of attributes that are listed here, but there's one great thing that this says. Notice verse 5 once again. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Key word, underline that in your Bible. By the Holy Spirit who was given to us. When you invited Christ into your life, when you said, yes, Lord, I believe that your only begotten Son went to Calvary's cross, took all the sins of the world upon it, was crucified, was buried, was resurrected, and is coming again. The moment that you did that, the Lord gave you the Holy Spirit. That is our teacher. That is who leads us. That's who guides us. That is the one that convicts us when we're about to do things that are displeasing to the Lord. Oftentimes people have come to me, and we talked about this a few moments ago, and they're maybe doubting their salvation. And one of the really interesting evidences of Christ in a person's life is the work of the Holy Spirit. Most of the time in talking with those folks, I can determine that the Holy Spirit is at work in their life. Are you convicted of things that are displeasing to God? Is there that nagging voice within you that says you shouldn't do this or you should do that? Is there that conviction of the things that you used to do prior to knowing Christ that displeased him, and you go to do them now, and now you don't have that sense of easiness. You've got that conviction that those things are wrong. That is the power of the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. And folks, without Jesus in your life, you don't have the Holy Spirit in your life. I've always said that the Holy Spirit's movement in a life is great evidence. Matter of fact, some of the greatest evidence of salvation. And what a blessing it's been that so many people over time have noticed and understood the working of the Holy Spirit in their life, which helped them to understand and drive out any of the doubts in regard to their salvation that Satan was putting in their lives. I think every Christian has gone through some aspect of that in some way in your life. So look for the Holy Spirit. It says that we have been given the Holy Spirit when we came to know him. Now, I like what it goes on, and it talks about how Christ's great love for us and why God did what he did for us in providing salvation through the death of his only begotten Son. Pick it up in verse 6 where it says, for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Let me read that in a different translation. It says, for while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. And then he says, for scarcely, then we were talking about before, remember the question I asked you at the start of our Bible study was, is there anybody or any cause that you would give your life for? And a lot of us would say, yeah, there may be, but there's just a very, very few. Paul is telling us here about the great love that God had for us that gave him the idea of Jesus Christ as his only begotten Son, whom he loved, to pay the price for all of our sins. Now, look at verse 7. It says, For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, let me give that to you once again in a different translation. It says, for one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And what that's pointing out is that before there was ever anything that we ever could do, and we still cannot do, Christ decided, I love them so much that I am willing to lay down my life for their sins. Before there was ever a decision made to trust in Christ and to follow him. Yeah, but when all of us, every person ever born on the face of this earth was born into sin. We were born sinners. And there's no way to escape hell and damnation other than through Jesus Christ. I've said this many, many times. Jesus is not a good way to heaven. He's the only way. Now, it's telling us right here that what's going on is it says that Jesus went to the cross for us before there was ever an opportunity for us to trust him, knowing that we were sinners, knowing that we were doing the wrong things. Notice that particular verse 9, it says, but God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, verse 9 goes on and says, much more than having been justified, remember what justified means, just as if we had never sinned, having been justified by his blood. In other words, we are made righteous in the presence of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And remember justification, just as if we'd never sinned. So verse 9, much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him, meaning Jesus Christ. Now, there are so many other things that we can pick up in this verse. I want to catch verses 10 and 11 before we close, but it says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. We have been reconciled to God. What a great, great attitude and thought that we should have that should provide for us peace. So before I close, there's two things I want us to understand in regard to the peace of God today. Obviously, we want you to understand God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son on Calvary's cross. And he did that with you being in the condition and the sinful position that you're in right now. He said, I still love, and you can insert your name, so much that I am willing to allow my son to go to Calvary to pay the price for sin, past, present, and even future. And because of that, we can have peace with God. We need to be able to have peace in knowing that we have a walk with him, that our salvation is assured because we trust him by grace through faith. And he says that when you do that, you don't have to hope as in have the type of hope that we use today. Well, I hope it doesn't rain today. That's not the kind of hope he provides. The hope he provides is the hope that before too awful long, we'll be in his presence. The good kind of hope. So he through that should provide you and I peace in regard to, first of all, our walk with him, our personal relationship with him. But second, it should provide us peace in our everyday walk and in our everyday life. Remember what he said. We're going to have trials. We're going to have tribulations. We're going to have those things. And once again, verse 3, if you go back, a good place to mark when you're having troubles in your life, a good place that you can write down in the front of your Bible to go back and when you're wondering where God is, it says verse 3, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Search for the Holy Spirit in your life. Understand that God knows every circumstance, every situation, and it is through him and only through him that we can have true peace within our life. What great, great things Paul has pointed out to us today that are applicable to us every day of our life in every way of our walk. There's assurance of our salvation, and there is peace in the midst of trial and tribulation as we're guided by the Holy Spirit. Let me have a word of prayer with you. Now I'm going to give you a couple of announcements as well as your scripture passages for next week's reading. Let's pray together. Father, you're good to us. We trust and pray that you will truly help us to hide your word in our heart that we might not sin against you. Help us to draw strength today from your word. Lord, may your peace that passes all understanding both go with us and abide with us now and forevermore. So we ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I do want to give you one quick reminder. We are going to have a business meeting on August the 16th. That's not this coming Sunday, but the following Sunday. But we're giving you the notice on that because it's a call business meeting. It is our annual corporate business meeting, at which point our nominating committee report will also be presented for a vote. If you need a copy of that, copies of that are available in the narthex of the church sanctuary as well as at the main office in the lobby there. If you're still not getting out yet, you can call the church office and we'll make sure we get you a copy of that. Be sure to look that over. When we vote, we're going to vote on the same way that we did for our IT vote that we took back several weeks ago. If you are on campus, it will be a yes or no vote that you'll tear off and you'll drop into the offering receptacle as you leave. If you are at home, you can call in your vote to the church office in regard to the approval of the nominating committee's report for the year 2020-2021, which are available now. So keep that in mind. Call conference August 16th. Ballot vote, just tear off yes or no vote, and that will be immediately after the worship service. Now, let me give you your scripture readings for Bible study for this week, and then the ones that will be the passage we'll be looking at next week. I want you to read this week Romans chapter 9 through Romans chapter 13. Once again, that's Romans chapter 9 through Romans chapter 13. And the passages that we'll be looking at for next Wednesday's Bible study is that faith comes by hearing. We're going to be looking at the passages of Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 17. So that's Romans chapter 10, 1 through 17 will be our next week's Bible study. Listen, folks, know that we love you. Know that we're looking forward to the day when we'll have our opportunity to be able to shake hands or put our arms around each other again. If you're still not comfortable getting out, please join us by way of our live stream feed on our Facebook page on Sunday mornings. If you are comfortable getting out, a lot of folks haven't really understood exactly how we're doing things at church yet, but if you'd like to sit outside and listen to the message, you can bring a chair and sit on the lawn. You'll be able to hear there. You can pull up in the parking lot. You can roll your window down. You'll be able to hear from there. You can bring a chair, come into the multi-purpose building. We're social distancing there as well. If you enjoy the air conditioning and don't want to be in the sun, but please bring your own chair for that. Or you can even go into the sanctuary. In the sanctuary, the message is simulcasted with audio and video in there. Social distancing is taking place there as well. So please come and join us if you're getting out. There's not going to be a bunch of people around. We're not doing any singing. We're there for less than an hour, and then we move on. So we would love to have you if you feel comfortable in doing so. If not, know that we still love you. We still pray for you, and we look for the day when we'll be able to reunite once again. Final thing I want to let you know is please take the opportunity to maintain your support to the church, that the ministry will continue to be able to go forth from Central Baptist Church, from our mission teams that are still working, to the gospel message that's being put out. If you're viewing us today, you don't have a home church, we encourage you to support us. You can do that by going to our website, which is www.oakridgecdc.org. There's a giving tab up there. Please consider supporting this ministry to reach hearts and lives with the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're one of ours, there's an expectation. Please maintain your tithing. Please maintain your giving. Not only that you will be a blessing to the church, but that God might bless you in a special way. Same way, you can give electronically. You can drop it by the church, or the offering is collected while we're there on Sunday morning. Times have been difficult. I understand that for folks. But we trust and pray that God is going to move in hearts and lives, that the ministry of Central Baptist Church will continue to go forward. Let me ask the blessing upon the offering, and then we'll look forward to seeing you on Sunday morning, either virtually or in person. Let's pray. Father God, you're good. Thank you for all the provision in our lives. And thank you, Father, that you provide peace that truly does pass all understanding in regard to our salvation, as well as our daily walk in the circumstances in which we live. Father, help us to draw close to you and trust you even more as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I'll see you later.